Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a phenomenal week of content planned for all of you listeners, as we will be live all week long from the Arizona Tennis Classic, the ATP Challenger 175K event, now in its fourth iteration of the tournament. Of course, it's our second consecutive year getting to serve as on-site media for the event. And in that capacity, of course, we have the tremendous opportunity to speak with so many different players in the main draw. A reminder to all of you listeners, Christian Garin has to play qualifying at this year's Arizona Tennis Classic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's because he's currently ranked number 87 in the world. That's right. Even with all the withdrawals, that's still the ranking cutoff just to get into this challenger event. So it is a loaded draw, of course, from top to bottom. And look, I will do my best alongside our CR intern, Owen Alderman, to try and grab every player in the main draw. We will try to offer as much coverage of this event as we can, make the most of our opportunity to be surrounded by so many different top 100 players. Again, each of those conversations we do manage to secure, you'll be able to hear them here on the Cracked Interviews podcast feed. And look, the topics are going to be pretty consistent. I'm going to ask what brings each player to Phoenix, going to ask each player for their aspirations in 2024. And then, of course, we'll tailor the rest of the interviews to whomever we are speaking to. The point more broadly is it's going to be a fantastic week of content, and I guarantee you won't want to miss out on any of it. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is another interview from the Arizona Tennis Classic. Welcome back, everyone, to our interview booth here at the Arizona Tennis Classic. Joining me now is a man who boarded a 5:30 p.m. flight, on his way here Sunday. Now, 2 days later, he's qualified for the main draw. It's one of the veterans we have in American men's tennis, Mitchell Krueger, returning champion, joining us once again. Mitch, thank you for taking the time to chat with us. Welcome back. First, let's just start with today's match. Straight set victory for you. You had the web gem up 5-3 early, a little backhand flick cross court.
I still need to see it.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that reaction live, but talk me through the match. What was working well today?
Yeah, I mean, it was about as clean and straightforward of a match as I could ask for. You know, especially last round qualies, there's always a little extra on the line, you know, because everyone wants to be main draw. But I haven't looked at the stats yet, but I think I only had maybe one break point against me. Yeah. It was in the second set. So, you know, I think, especially on hard courts, you know, if I'm not facing many break points, I like my chances to beat a lot of guys. Yeah. And, you know, obviously that was one of the big keys today.
Yeah, no, clearly. And look, again, movement has always been a staple for you. But I'm curious more broadly right now, and for those that haven't followed too closely, you obviously win the Indian Wells Challenger earlier this year. Now you've qualified into this 175K event, which in reality could be a 250. In reality, could be a light 500 as well. Like, it's all top 100 players everywhere. How are you feeling about your level more broadly here to start 2024?
Yeah, that's the funny thing is, you know, on paper last year, I probably had the worst year of my career. But as far as how my game was feeling honestly better than it ever has.
Sure.
You know, that's the crazy thing about tennis is it just wasn't always translating. You know, I didn't put together a lot of consecutive wins. You know, there was a lot of second round losses and that kind of thing, which, you know, these days, it's not going to cut it with the points and all that. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I was able to capitalize my first term of the year at Indian Wells, you know, especially because there's been so few opportunities in the U.S., you know, from challengers, you know, tour events. Okay, there's always a lot, but, you know, the challengers, there haven't been as many as there normally is. So, you know, it's almost puts a little bit of extra pressure.
Sure.
To you know, have to do well, so you know, you put yourself in good positions and don't have to travel week to week, continent to continent. But yeah, I mean, honestly, this is just further proof. You know, I just turned 30 years old this year.
Yeah, so, I don't like that
at all.
It's
not my first rodeo. You know, I've over the years, you know, I've really figured out how I want to play and my game style that works and what I need to do to beat a lot of guys. And, you know, this, once I've kind of figured that out, you know, the results, you know, have been pretty good.
Yeah. For the record, I don't like that you're turning 30. That's, I mean, my still, my best recruiting class, they say, who's your favorite of all time? It's you, Shane, and Harrison. And I'm like, if Mitchell goes to A&M, yeah, they're now a powerhouse. Yeah, exactly. And so, again, a great game of tennis what if for us later. But, you know, you mentioned the lack of opportunities for the challengers here in the States. Obviously, this is a massive opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not just your average challenger. It's a 175K. I'm curious what you've thought of the incorporation of events like this and more broadly the changing structure of the ATP Challenger Tour. I know you've talked about it a little bit on social media, but curious your thoughts on all the changes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with them either decreasing points at challengers or increasing points at tour events.
Mm-hmm.
But doing both at the same time, to me, was just completely unacceptable because it just makes it that much harder to crack the top 100 and get to the tour level, and it makes it that much harder for those guys to fall out.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it'll be interesting what happens this year, you know, when at the end of the year to see, like, the turnover of guys that have fallen out and made it up because, you know, it requires big results at big tournaments, you know.
Sure.
There might be a two or three guys a year that really crack top 100, top 60, yeah, just from challengers, and that requires winning yeah, six, seven challengers a year, which
crazy,
you know, is extremely hard to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sucks obviously for all of us, but you know, if at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do about it. I just have to take as many opportunities as I can. That's kind of my mentality this year of, you know, trying to take chances, take some risks. Like here, you know, I didn't find out I was I was going to play until Sunday afternoon, and I was sitting in my kitchen in Dallas, completely unpacked, folding laundry, like so unprepared to come.
Mm-hmm.
Prepared in my game.
Yeah,
I had
sure,
been
sure,
practicing at home, but just mentally completely not ready to go. And, you know, that was one of the things that we talked about with my wife is, you know, you have to take your chances, especially in the States when the opportunities don't come by that often. And, you know, as of now, I've made the most of it. Hopefully I can keep pushing it this week.
Yeah, so far so good. It helps that you have a really good coach in your coaching box this week. That's me, folks. I'm acting as the de facto Kruger coach. But no, more seriously, and I appreciate your candidness there. Look, you mentioned it. Like, you were sitting at home, not expecting to come here this week. Obviously, you mentioned the fact that you do have the schedule. We were talking off mic about what you do plan on doing, but I'm curious, you win that Indian Wells Challenger. Now you've qualified here for the main draw. The rankings-wise, it's so tricky. You know, do I go and try and play 250 qualies? Do I go and try and play this challenger or this level challenger, whatever it may be? What do the next 6 months look like for you as you try to make that push back towards the top 100?
Yeah, you know, I'm in that tricky spot of
the vomit zone.
Yeah. Being close.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in slam qualies consistently for at least the last 6 years straight, you know, and that obviously is where all the money is, where the big opportunities really are. You know, last year I kind of fell out of that range, and I'm in that little in-between zone of trying to get back in, but it's extremely hard, you know, with the changes in points. And, you know, obviously some good results I had last year. I was knocking on the door a few weeks ago at around 240 and then lost big points from Monterey Challenger last year. So now I'm sitting at around 290 again. And, you know, this year I'm trying not to worry about the ranking. I feel like last year, you know, in 2022, I hit my career high at 130. Last year, you know, I was kind of worried, but like too focused on, you know, defending points and not moving down, moving up, you know, that kind of thing. This year I'm trying to just treat it as almost focusing more on like the race, the race ranking of, you know, from January 1st to December 31st, just get as many points as I can, not worrying about what's coming off. And you know, obviously my goal is to get back into the top 200 and keep pushing for, you know, the slams and all the tour events. And, you know, because I've always felt, me personally, I've always been the kind of guy that I try to take as many opportunities in the tour events over challengers whenever I can, because I've always felt like I've played better at the bigger
100%
events. You know, I've qualified literally at every single level from 250 up to masters and slams, and, you know, my career high is 135, which a lot of guys, you know, you probably would think, oh yeah, he's for sure been top 100, or, you know, but so I've been knocking on that door and won my fair share of challengers, but you know, it's really hard to to really break that threshold. It takes a big result, you know. That's lack of opportunities, or, you know, using the most of my opportunities when I get them.
No, absolutely. There is some tennis chameleon to you in the sense, like, the better the opponent, the better the match.
Yeah.
Because physically that's never been the issue for you. But then, yeah, sometimes, you know, again, the forehand might get a little leaky. I don't need to tell you these things. And so, you know, my last three questions for you on that note, I kind of asked this to Dennis as well. And again, you guys are becoming the elder statesman of American men's tennis far too quickly. But
seriously,
I'm curious how, you know, you've talked about the level here at this ATP Challenger, and obviously this one in Phoenix specifically, the draw, the players, that level's going to be a little bit higher. But more broadly, have you seen the level raise in the ATP Challenger Tour? Like, it just feels like that 400 guy in the world, he is, on the right day, he's going to look like number 62.
That's what makes this sport so ridiculously hard, is that even down to futures, you know, I'm not joking, like, if you're not on for that day, I mean, you have the risk of going down very easily, you know? Like, you have to be on it every single match. There's no walk-through matches where, you know, you can just kind of go through the motions and make it work, you know? Obviously, you're going to have your ups and your downs. You're going to have your good matches and your bad, but that's what makes it so hard, is it's just gotten so deep. And, you know, especially now with how many futures there are and the points with the changes, you know, futures points have become a lot more lucrative. So see a lot of guys dropping down to play those. You win those, get 25 points, you know, those can add up real fast. But, you know, I think I just said this on Twitter a few days ago, like, it's so hard for people to realize the difference between top 10 and 300 400. Is, I mean, look at last night with Djokovic going down to Nardi. Like,
100%.
It just goes to show that anyone can beat anybody, no matter who they are.
Who's hot, who's confident. You're absolutely right. And look, you have a kid now, so going to do 8 weeks in Monastir, probably not on the equation for you anymore. But but no, that pathway is, like, you're absolutely right. Like, that is as valuable now almost as these other things. And, you know, again, in that spirit, I'm curious, what does the schedule look like for you here in 2024, at least immediately? I know it's always hard to plan 6 months out, but what do the next 3 months look like for you?
I mean, luckily, things are starting to pick back up in this continent, you know, starting with the clay. It's really starting with this, you know.
Yeah, like this continent, this hemisphere.
I mean,
legitimately,
seriously. You know, once these kind of gum through and the clay court tournaments start, and, you know, summer will be here before you know it, and that's when it gets, you know, much better in that sense. And then basically from summer through the end of the year, it's if you want to, you can play in the States for the most part, you know. But my next 6 weeks is to the clay after this, because I won't be in Miami, and play the Florida clay ones, and then you know, my goal is to be in French quali, so I would look to go over there a week or two before and get on the red clay, and, you know, that's where I want to be, and
Might you need me for coaching duty, so I have to clear up the schedule? We'll see how we do this week.
Five more weeks.
We're still in a trial run right now. Exactly. That's fair. I'm curious. You had your first kid. Obviously, you're married now. Mazel tov, my friend. I don't think I've congratulated you that way. I don't know if my check got bounced in the mail or not, but so you might have gotten the gift. How has that impacted your on-court? Like, has it helped, and in what ways does it change, you know, the day-to-day grind?
You know, I don't think it's hurt, you know.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of people have that fear of, you know, you have your energies put in different areas, whereas before, you know, you can really focus only on this. And, you know, I think it's been a positive for me. It's kind of been, gives you something else to really play for, and, you know, give you a much different perspective on things, you know, and you really realize off the court there's a lot more to tennis, you know. And not to say that takes away from my drive and my work ethic and, you know, practicing and all that, because I still make sure that, you know, I'm on top of that. But, you know, it's harder in the sense too, you know, I go practice, work out at home all day, come home, and I'm right back on at work pretty much, because my wife's been there while I've been gone. So, you know, when I'm home, it's busy for me, but I love it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I remember the Colette Lewis International Spring Championship video between you and Kozlov, or like you playing Nishioka 9 junior events in a row, and like the fact that now you go home and you're not talking about that, but someone's calling you dad, like boom, brain blast. I don't like it. But I guess my final question for you is, with all of these changes as well, you know, there's the Malcolm Gladwell theory, 10,000 hours, 10,000 forehands, backhands, serves, whatever. You've put in your 10,000. And so I'm just curious at this point, what development looks like for you, how you manage your game, and how you get, you know, what it is about your tennis right now that has you thinking on any given day, like, oh, I am playing my best right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with, you know, the 10,000 hours. You know, that's that. Over the years, you know, I've stopped putting as much emphasis and pressure on, you know, like making sure everything's feeling great going into a tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been through that where, you know, I'm freaking out like the week before Slam qualies. Yeah. You know, you're freaking out if you're not doing well. You know, over the years, you know, I've realized that the work has already been put in. Mm-hmm. Trust what I'm doing. Like I said before, knowing my game plan, knowing what works, and basically knowing what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. to put myself in good positions, and that's you know, the biggest thing, like perfect example coming here, you know, like even though I didn't hit a ball on these courts until my warm-up before my match, and you know, coming from not using these balls and, you know, slightly different conditions, it was kind of chilly in Dallas still, you know, just knowing, like, you know, I've played enough tournaments, I've won enough matches, I know that if I'm feeling well mentally, that's really the big thing that matters, you know, and I can beat anyone, and so far so good, and, you know, feeling really good.
Yeah, well, into the main draw here in Phoenix. Before I let you go, there's my phone. Okay, never mind. I was going to ask you for my phone. I was going to say, let's show you the video live. Like, let's see your reaction to what was, again, an exceptional point. A couple likes already on social media. Yeah, here we go. This is it. Owen got the best angle possible as well. Mitchell Krueger. Some of you on video will see this. Mitchell hits the first serve. Then it goes, ooh, drop shot choice there.
Not a great decision, probably. But
no, I like that. But the forehand pass works well. And then here we go. Look at that angle. Mitchell Krueger. Behave yourself.
He said he's 30 years old. Yeah. That court cover.
I love that. 30 years young. And again, at some point when your daughter has your speed, you're going to show her this, right? And be like, this, you got it from dad, not mom. But yeah, that angle's real nice. And you know, it's also real nice, the chance to chat with you as always, Mitch. I appreciate your support over the years. And good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, I appreciate it.